Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, to this program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 17th of Jumad al Ukhra, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, 20th January 2022. We continue with our series on inheritance. Today is episode 2. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Mufti Sap, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sap, continuing from last week's sequence, the next question is, who are the people who don't inherit?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just to jog our memories and summarize last week's lesson, our first episode, part one, regarding the Islamic law of inheritance, Islamic law of succession. When a Muslim person passes away, male, female, adult or child, the first thing we do is, if there are amanat, there are trusts, there are things that people entrusted the deceased with, that must be returned immediately to the rightful owner. So that's number one. Then we come to the burial, funeral expenses. So you have to pay for the bathing, you have to pay for the coffin, the shroud, you have to pay for the hearse, and you have to pay for the grave. And thereafter, so first the bathing, then the shrouding, and thereafter Salatul Janaza, the funeral prayer, and thereafter the dafn and the burial itself. So all that costs money, and 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, depending where you're burying the deceased. And it can be more also. So these are just examples, obviously. Thereafter, the debts of the deceased. So when we speak about debts, then the Hanafi scholars say the debts refers to human beings' debts. So whether it's personal debts, I took money from this one, that one, or my business owes this person, that person, creditors, so all that must be settled. But majority of the scholars, the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis, they say all beside the Hanafis, debt has a broader connotation and meaning. It refers to the debts of human being, Muslim, non-Muslim, and the debts of Almighty Allah. وَدَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْفَى. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So the debts of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that also must be paid. Whether wasiyah was made or not, that is irrespective. So for example, that person owes ABC XYZ, his business owes ABC XYZ creditors, so all that must be paid. But what about the outstanding zakat for 3 years, 5 years he never paid? So all that must be paid. What about the sadaqatul fitr, the fitra this person did not pay for so many years, 5 years, 10 years, that all must be paid from the estate. Similarly, kafara, so many oaths that person violated, desecrated the sacred name of Almighty Allah, so all that must be paid. That is according to majority scholars, Maliki, Shafi'is and Hanbalis. So we need to be clear on that issue. Third one will be wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath. Here there are three things. Number one is you bequeath for non-heirs. You can't bequeath for an heir. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, hadith Mishkat Sharif, la wasiyata li warisin. You can't bequeath for an heir. Yes, if they all give permission, and that's a separate issue, we'll discuss that separately. But as a law, you can't bequeath for an heir. Second one is, it must be for none is. So remember, whether it's a person, whether it's an organization, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a non-Muslim, so all that would be acceptable. But it must not exceed 1/3 of the net estate. So that is very, very important. So that is wasiya. So according to Hanafis, that person had to pay zakat, he had to perform a hajj. Hajj was compulsory upon him, for example. So all that now will come out from this, provided that that person had bequeathed all that. And then the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. Now the first question here that you posed today, Mona Zahid Khan, is who are those people who are disqualified? They can't inherit. They can't inherit in any circumstances. Number one, a non-Muslim. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yarithul muslimul kafir wal kafirul muslim, is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, in Mustada Ahmad, and various compilations. So remember that a person embraced Islam. So that person there, that his parents or their children or whoever, siblings, they all are non-Muslim. So in a case like that, that person can bequeath, but he can't inherit. So remember, the non-Muslim cannot inherit from the Muslim. And the vice versa as well, that non-Muslim brother, that one Muslim parent passes away, you, the Muslim, you cannot inherit. On that, there's ijma, there's consensus on that issue there. So that's first one we need to know. So, ikhtilafuddin, what we call. So the kuffar, the non-Muslim, among themselves, they can inherit. The Hindu will inherit from the Jew will inherit from the Christian will inherit from the Buddha, Buddhist, all that. That will happen. Why? Al-kufru millatun wahida, because they all considered as one. You know, in the business corporate world, you have a holding company and then you have subsidiaries. So the holding company is kufr. And thereafter, remember, all will get in there as subsidiaries. The Yahud, the Jews, the Nasara, the Christians, the Mushrik, the idol worshipper, Hindu, the fire worshipper, and the Zoroastrian, so all. So among themselves, they can inherit, but Muslim cannot inherit from them, and nor can he or she, the non-Muslim, inherit from a Muslim. The non-Muslim cannot inherit. But we must draw the distinction between wasiya and inheritance. Inheritance are the shares which Almighty Allah has prescribed, ordained, and designated for them, and so forth. Wasiya is what you want to give to them, maximum 1/3. So that is one issue. Second issue, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Tirmidhi, Mishkat, and so forth. Al-qatilu la yarithu. This person, yeah, he can't wait for his wife to die, or the wife can't wait for the husband to die, or you can't wait for your father, mother to die. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So the person you are going to inherit from, you go and commit premeditated murder. So you must remember, in a case like that, now you went and murdered that person. So obviously, in that case there, you can't be inheriting, because you are guilty of premeditated murder, homicide, and so forth and so on. The Hanafis do not agree on this example I'm to give. But according to the Shafis and them, remember, they take this hadith to right to another extreme. So this is what the Shafis say. I am driving, you are driving, right? And now remember, it was raining, or it was hailing, or the weather was very, you know, inclement weather, or whatever the circumstances are. And I was driving, for example, Allah forbid, met up in an accident, and my father, mother passed away, or something. So I will not inherit from them. Albeit inadvertently, unintentionally, that they called al-qatlu bi sabab, that you were responsible for killing them, although unintentionally, but you are the cause. Remember that. Who are the driver? You. So finish. So that is the Shafi'i school. So we must remember that the Shafi'is are the one who go right to the one extreme regarding the issue of murder and so forth. So in a case, so in principle, all the jurors, scholars agree, the murderer will not inherit. But remember, the Malikis, Hanafis and them say is premeditated murder and so forth and so on. But the Shafi'is go to another extreme and they say, no, that it say it, all types of murder will be included, and now you will not be able, you'll be disqualified to inherit from that person who you're supposed to inherit from. It don't mean if you shoot a person who came and is a Muslim person to steal in your house and so forth, so now you won't inherit from your father or mother. This means you killing the person from whom you are supposed to inherit. That is the meaning of the hadith. So we need to draw that distinction as well. And obviously it is common sense also and is logical also. So these are the main. Then if a person is a slave and all that, but nowadays slave and all that doesn't work. So but there are other masail you can add to this, so maybe you can ask some of that inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, what about murtads? Do they inherit?
You must remember, first and foremost, let us define what is meant by a murtad. A person was born a Muslim and in a Muslim home, and then he started rejecting the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam. So now he's murtad, he's out of the fold of Islam, he's an apostate. Or the person embraced Islam and from Judaism became a Muslim, Christianity became a Muslim, from Hinduism became a Muslim, and thereafter, you must remember, after 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, Allah forbid, aliyazu billah, he or she goes back to their original religion. So for that, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man baddala deenahu faqtulu. Is hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that whosoever changes their religion, they denounce Islam, they became apostates, then for them is the death penalty. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they state, and qawluhum rajih also. You must remember their verdict is very, very strong when you look at dalail and proof and so forth. So they say that whether the person perpetrating this crime is male or female, so there will be death penalty. So for male we all agree, the Hanafis also say so, but for female there's a hadith also in Daraqutni and others. So therefore they say that even the female. But Hanafi say that if the person became a murtad, so remember that for him there will be death penalty. We will give them 3 days chance, try and remove all their objections and all questions, but they still don't want to accept, then for a male the death penalty, and for female al-habs, then you incarcerate, imprison them, that females hatta tamut aw tatub, until she dies or until she repents. That is only the Hanafi verdict. So now we must remember, now we go to the actual issue, and this is fascinating. This is what you call liyatafaqahu fiddeen. That what is tafaqquh fiddeen? When you go right deep into the ocean of knowledge, may yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqqihu fiddeen. So Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is the reporter, and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, when Almighty Allah decreed goodness for you, Almighty Allah gives you that profound, deep understanding of deen. So the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis say, murtad kal kuffar. Finish. That the murtad, he died, so you, the Muslims, you don't inherit. The Muslim died, the murtad don't inherit. End of the story, just like the non-Muslim. Imam Abu Hanifa says, no. We have to revisit this masla properly. So Imam Abu Hanifa only. So he says, we have to divide it in this manner. ABC person was a Muslim, right? Or that person embraced Islam. So now, when he or she started their business and what have you, for 30 years they were Muslim, and now after 35 years he died. That person died. So Imam Abu Hanifa says, like nowadays, we can go to the accountant, we can go to their lawyers or whatever you, and people in charge, so of all their matters and so forth. So we will save till the age of 33. Oh, this is Hanafis only. So how much was this person worth? So 1 million rand. So that 1 million rand, you must remember, will go into the estate and the Muslim heirs will inherit. Because till that time he was Muslim, so you must remember these type of things. Yeah. And then after Irtidad, after he became Murtad, the last 5 years or whatever the case is, so that amount you can't inherit and so forth and so on. That will go to the poor and charity and so forth and so on. But that what he earned and what he acquired whilst he was a Muslim, so that will go to his Muslim heirs after, you must remember, all the expenses of debts and all these type of things. So that is the Hanafi verdict, right? But remember the other way around. When the Muslim person died and he is a murtad, an apostate, he doesn't inherit a cent. So even though he was Muslim for 50, 70, 80 years, Allah forbid, he will not inherit a cent. So when we ask the Hanafis, now where you derive this masla from? They say, Al-Islam ya'alu wa la yu'la alayh. Islam will be given preference and nothing can be given preference over Islam. So see, it's a great, great fiqh masla this. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says that you, the Muslim heirs, you will inherit what he acquired while he was a Muslim. But after that, obviously that you can't inherit. So this is the difference of opinion between Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Imam Hanifa's verdict. If you look at it from fiqh point of view, is very strong. So remember that. So in a case like that, the tafaqqu, that fiqh, remember, you have to work it out, calculate it, think about it, ijtihad and so forth. Therefore, there's a usul Imam Shafi rahimahullah wrote and mentioned in his famous work in usul ul-fiqh, wala inkara fil ijtihad. Certain masail, al-masail al-mansusa, that there is text for it, Quranic text. Some masail, there is prophetic text. But some masail, al-masail al-ijtihad, that you have to use ijtihad, and not today's ijtihad that people just make everything jais and sharia compliant and halal. No, those are the great, great jurors. We have to go to them. So first Quran Sharifs, second Sunnah Mubarakah, third the fatawa verdict of Sahaba, then fourth we go to the fuqaha and the jurors and see what they had to say and so forth and so on, and then you move forward. So this is a fascinating masla, and normally you won't find it also in every kitab, you know, that for example in Siraji, and that you won't find it. So you have to go into the bigger, greater kitabs of inheritance, and then you will find such masail.
Mufti Sahib, do illegitimate children, do they inherit?
See, that's another good example. That, see how common and rife and rampant it is in this day and age. See, how many people I know? So you must remember, they come to us, their guilty conscience get the better of them, and they say that, you know what, that he had an affair, and with that lady, sometime Muslim lady, sometime non-Muslim lady, and now that there was no marriage involved, nothing, and that lady gave birth, so now the child is waladu zina, the child is illegitimate, the child is a bee, and remember, we must take this out of our mind and heart. There is no blame on the child. The child is ma'soom. But remember, all the children who are born illegitimate, so they ayul haqul waladu bil So the lineage of the child will go to the mother. So today, just to digress for 1 minute, 2 minutes, you find in our Muslim society today, we find today in our society, this also we know so many examples. The marriage, they were married 5 years, 10, 15, 20 years. Allah forbid. The marriage turned sour. The husband divorced his wife, right? So when the husband divorced his wife, so in a case like that, what happened? So she, their biological mother, and her family said, now this is to spite the father, to spite the ex-husband. They say, okay, we're going to fix you up. So what they do, So the children's names were registered with the father's name or father's surname, and that's the right thing to do. Surah 33 verse 5, Ud'uhum li'abaim, you must let the children, their lineage go to the father. That Quran is saying, biological father. And that is justice by Almighty Allah, chapter 33, Surah Ahzab verse 5. So out of spite, then they go and re-register those children by the mother's maiden name. Oh mother, you know what you did. You're telling the world that all these children of yours are haramis. You're telling the world all these children of yours are bees. You're telling the world that all your children are auladu zina. So in Islam, that remember, that we're not speaking now of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, that was miraculous. Nowadays, what is happening? So when you give birth and, you know, in a zina and fornication, adultery, and the child is born illegitimate, so the child is a bee, then is haram child, so then the lineage will go to the mother. Not to the father. The father doesn't feature at all as far as it goes, right? Now, if you speak about inheritance, mother dies, child inherits. Child dies, mother inherits. Father dies, child does not inherit. Child dies, father. This father, we say inverted commas. So child dies and passes away, so that father will not inherit. But now that father, deep down, he knows. Like today, we know of instances. So this girl, the lady, the mother, she went to court. In South Africa, we know of examples. So they went to court and so forth, and they say that this guy here, he's the father and he's responsible. So he's called up, he admits and confesses, yes, I slept with this lady and so forth. So they will tell him that he must pay so much maintenance per month and so forth. So what we will suggest to him, that is our suggestion to him, that see, you are the father, but Islamically, because we don't want this type of things to happen, so that if you start saying it must go to the father, it means then you are encouraging it indirectly or indirectly. So therefore Islam says no, lineage goes to the mother, end of the story. But you, the father, common sense should come and prevail, although common sense is no more common nowadays. So what should happen is, in your world, you should write down that in wasiya, that this child should get something, because end of the day, they can't inherit from you, but you can bequeath for them, you see. So that is how you can solve the problem to a certain extent. And most important thing, mistake, we all make mistakes. Sins, we all commit sins. There's no one living today who's sane and mature can say he never committed sin. So in a case like that, we will suggest to that person there that see, you must look after the child to this extent, then make sure that they're in Islam. How many of these children, the Muslim male impregnated that lady? Sometimes the lady is non-Muslim, sometimes is Muslim, but now the children are left and now they all become non-Muslim. So at least that much you should have common sense. You committed one major, major crime. So at least try and secure and ensure that the children are brought up or have Islam in them, and at least you can bequeath something for them in your will and so forth. So these will all be suggestions we will give to that person there. So always remember the law. In Islam, the bees, illegitimate children, haram children, the lineage will go to the mother and not to the father. So that is a big thing. An inheritance, mother dies, child inherits, child dies, mother inherits, father dies, child doesn't inherit, child passes away, father doesn't inherit in this case here.
Alhamdulillah, we welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, back to this program, Inheritance, Episode 2. So Mufti Sahab, the next question is, who are the heirs amongst the men and the women?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That if you are asking that who are the heirs amongst the male and female, according to the Islamic law of succession, according to the Islamic law of inheritance, then when people ask me this in seminars and so forth, before I respond to them, I always say the West and the Orientalists and them always raise this objection. objection, and we answered it last week, but nevertheless, so they say Islam is chauvinistic, Islam is favoring the man, and it gives the men double and gives the women single. So let us look at those people whom Almighty Allah has designated their shares. That those heirs whose shares are designated. So if you look at the men, right? So there are four. So you will find the husband. So his share is designated in the Quran, that's one. And then you must remember it is the father. So that's two. So you must remember what father will come, the jadd. Jadd means that the dada, that is Abul Ab, that is father's father and so forth, paternal grandfather, what we call pa, sapa, opa. So we got, you must remember, husband. So wife passes away, husband inherits. Second one, you must remember that the father, so that is biological father we're speaking about. And what the father will include, the jadd sahih, the paternal grandfather. So he's also in that category there. And the fourth one you must remember is akhun li ummin. So the uterine brother, the uterine brother. See the son. So powerful he is, but he is not the Quranic heir, meaning his share is not designated. He falls under the residuaries. He falls around the asaba, the agnate heirs. Now, these are all big, big words, so we will simplify everything for you. So I want to answer this question first, so people may understand the justice system of Islam. So how many we counted, Mawzaid? Four. We got husband of the deceased, we got father of the deceased. You always look at the relationship of the person to the deceased. And thereafter, you see, sometime a person passes away. So now they say, the wife is asking, so now they say that she left children or she left a father. But it's not a father, it's a husband, you must remember. So that is how you must be very careful when you ask the question, that is that person's relationship to the deceased, that of a husband or a father. So you know, it can make a difference, big difference. So anyway, to answer the question, you have the husband, you have the biological father, you have the paternal grandfather. So these are Quranic heirs. And then you have akhun li ummin, the uterine brother. So it means that the deceased and this brother, yeah, they share the same mother. Their fathers are different. So how many we got? Four. Right? There are many others, the son, and then they will inherit, the brothers will inherit, and all that will inherit. But they all fall in the category of asaba, residuaries. They will take their share after the Quranic heirs have taken their stipulated proportionate share. So thus far we got four. Now let us turn the page and we go to who? To the females. So how many females we got? Now remember, cognizance must be taken of the fact that before and prior to Islam, in the days of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic days, the days of ignorance, no woman will inherit, no child will inherit, because they would not participate in any war or battle and so forth. And according to their riwaj and system and custom, that for you to inherit, you had to be mayyar kamal kabul faras. You had to be a person who could ride a horse, and you must have a safe, you must have a sword in your hand, and so forth and so on. So Islam came to abolish that unfair practice and said no. So men, rijal, we got four. Now let's go to the female. So we see bint. So we got who there? We got daughter. Then we got, you must remember, So daughter means biological daughter. And then we got So we got the mother, the biological mother. Then we got the bintul ibn. So that is, you must remember, the son, the person who passed away, so the mayyid's son's daughter, so granddaughter via the son's side. So bintul ibn, so they also must inherit. So at certain conditions, then the grandmother must inherit, grandmother both ways. So if the mother is not there, so whether it is nanima or dadima, they will inherit. So you must remember that. So that is the next one. So how many we got so far? Four. So we got daughter, we got mother, we got grandmother, we got bintul ibn, the granddaughter via the son. And thereafter, we got the three types of sisters. So remember that. So we got the Ukhtun Shaqiqa, the full sister, that she will inherit her parents and the deceased parents are the same. Or Ukhtun Li Abin, that is the consanguine sister. These are all big words. So the half sister from the father's side, the deceased father and you, the sister who's alive, you'll share the same father, but your mothers are different. So remember, they also will inherit, and you know, with certain conditions. And then Ukhtun li ummin, the uterine sister. So that will be that the mothers are the same and the fathers are different. So how many we got now? 7, isn't it so? And then we got Zawja, the wife. So I answered the question in the seminar and so forth. You are saying that Islam gave double to the male and remember single to the female. But when I start counting the Quranic ayahs, so I found 8. It was remember for the women and the females. And for the male I found 4. So who's getting double and who's getting single? You understand the justice system of Islam? Therefore, Quran Kareem's 2 verses always remember, فَرِيدَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ, that the shares of the heirs have been designated, ordained, prescribed by Almighty Allah. And what Almighty Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. Verily, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is all-knowing and all-wise. So when does Almighty Allah Jalla Wala say this? Almighty Allah says this after mentioning the shares of the heirs, Surah 4 and verse number 11. So just see the beauty, the glory, the style, and the rhetoric, the balagha of the noble Quran. So Allah said regarding inheritance, Faridatan min Allah, Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Now go to chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 60. There Almighty Allah mentions the 8 categories of those people who are poor and so forth and so on. They must be Muslim, obviously, and they entitled to receive zakat. The compulsory charity we have to give as Muslims. So remember what Allah states, Surah 9 verse 60. Faridatam min Allah, that these 8 categories are ordained, prescribed by Almighty Allah. Wallahu alimun hakim. There is mentioned, and Allah is all-knowing, and Almighty Allah is all-wise. Yeah, Allah says, Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Meaning, it only exclusively beholds and is for Allah alone to designate the shares of the heirs. It's the exclusive right of Almighty Allah to inform us that you Muslim who are wealthy, affluent, who must you give your zakat to? Go give it to these 8 categories, provided that they are Muslim. See? So that is the beauty. And if you make a cross reference, then you will see in chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 7. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions Naseebam Mafrooda, that the shares of the heirs are already stipulated, prescribed, ordained. Even if the heir says, my father, mother passed away, father passed away 82, mother passed away 97, Allah Jalla Wala grant all our parents, all our marhumin, Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. So we make dua for them daily, obviously. But I say, no, I don't want. Because I'm a multimillionaire. Or for whatever reason, one person says, I don't want my father's share. Because he felt that the father's share, the business he was doing was not 100% justified and legal. Whatever the circumstances are. So Islam will say, no, that you, this wealth, this inheritance, your share has entered and come into your ownership, maybe not in your possession, but it has come into your ownership automatically, tawan aw karha, whether you like it or not. That is the only place in Islam where the ownership is already becoming yours. So if that person is a big shot sharpshooter, he's worth 100 million, 50 million, he say, what I'm going to do with this 1 million and so forth. So we will say, see, that it's already in your ownership, so you don't want it, fine, so give it to your siblings, give it in charity, give it to somebody and something. So that, but we will first have to assume and presume that it went into his ownership, whether he admits it or not, and then he gave it out and so forth. That is how we need to understand things. So when we speak about inheritance, we must remember that those who shares are stipulated, the man 4 and women 8. So that is the beauty of the noble Quran, and we need to understand these issues properly.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, who are the people who must inherit?
Yes, they are very good question. There are 5 people they must inherit. Understand this. Now remember where we started today, part 2, episode 2. Those who are disqualified. Those who are disqualified. So when I tell you that these 5 categories, they must inherit, so it means that it must not be a murderer, person guilty of murder and homicide, because that person will be disqualified. The person must not be a non-Muslim, because then he's disqualified. So this person is Muslim, he never committed murder and so forth, didn't kill the person from whom he's inheriting like that. So who indeed are the 5 people that must inherit? Al-Walidan, Al-Abawan, anyone you can say. So the parents. So son dies, daughter dies, and passes away. They, the father, mother, must inherit. It can't happen when you calculate and work out that so-and-so inheritance. The father is alive, biological father, biological mother, not stepmother and foster mother and adopted mother. They don't inherit anything. So you must remember that we're speaking of biological parents. So you, the biological mother, you must inherit. Biological father, you must inherit. So how many we got so far? 2. So then, and the next one will be Al-Awlad. So when the father passes away or the mother passes away, so then who must inherit? Al-Ibn wal-Bint, the son and daughter, or plural, the Baneen and the Banat, the sons and the daughters, they must inherit. Again, so it must be biological son, biological daughter, not foster son, foster daughter, stepson, stepdaughter, adopted son, adopted, none of them inherit. Yes, you want to give them something, so you use category C, A, B, C. You use category 3, 1, 2, 3. And what is C, what is 3? Wasiya. You can bequeath for them up to 1/3, but they're not A's. So always we must make that distinction. Remember that nicely. So, yeah, when we said that first 2 must inherit our beloved parents, provided they're Muslim and so forth, obviously, and there's no murder and foul play involved. And the second category would be the son and daughter, or sons and daughters. So how many we got now? 4. And then the surviving spouse. In Mansa Dwert is another Mansa Dwert. So the wife died, so the husband must inherit. So you save surviving spouse. And if the wife died, the husband must inherit. Husband passes away, the wife or wives, plural, will inherit. So that's how we got the first. They must inherit. And if I died now and I have 2 wives, right? Example, you know I got 1 wife, obviously. Example, now if I make Maulana Zaid example, then maybe he will get upset or his wife get upset. So rather I become the example. So now I died and I got 2 wives. So they share, and I got children, child or children. So in a case like that, they will not inherit 12.5%. Nay, they will inherit both of them from that 12.5%. 6.25%. You see? So that is how. So in your, now, the first thing the woman will complain, they say, but you know, I'm his wife for 30 years, 25 years, and then I only get 6.25%. So therefore, we tell the husband, Papa, that, oh, hubby, that give your wife hundreds and thousands and whatever during your lifetime. Mm. So who's stopping you? That nobody's stopping you. So therefore, you, the wife, you must always, when your husband is in a good mood, you know, then you must tune him up. Mokai shanasi, mardam shanasi. You must know when to play your trump cards, you know, and you must know how to speak to him also. Must tell him, you know, hubby, it's weekend. I think it's time now. We must sort out our world and all these kind of things. And you know how things go now. I think better you just transfer about 50, 100 grand to me, or you put the car on my name, or the house you transfer on. Something like that. You have to tune him up. You understood? So in that way there, so 100% that is permissible, no problem in that. And when he gives it to you, you are the giftee. You are the recipient. So remember, he, the husband, cannot stipulate any conditions. It's yours, exclusively yours. He can't say that one person wrote. I still remember in the world. So I told him, Baji, what you wrote is haram. He wrote there, the house is for you, oh my darling, my poppy, my sweetheart, all that. But condition that you don't get married to anybody else after I die. So I told him, Baji, what you wrote there is once tasted, never wasted. You understood? So after it, that she can get married. Who are you to dictate from the grave and all these type of things there? So you see, our people make all funny, crazy conditions. So all that conditions, akal adam, are none. They're not valid. It's like they're non-existent. They don't apply, non-applicable. So we must know these things here. Okay? So these are the five. You got it? Parents, children, surviving spouse. So these are the five that you must remember. They must inherit. Yes, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Allah. The father, mother is a non-Muslim or murtad. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Or the son, daughter, they murderer, they just kill. You see, today another big problem. Let me also address this issue. Because every day also we receive, every day meaning very often, we receive this query. And that is of life insurance. So now the father, mother are insured. 5 million, 5 million, 10 million, 10 million. So now the son and daughter, they say, this opa must die, we can inherit. They don't want to die. They're pulling and pulling. Hey, just took the trigger and shot them dead. So you're not going to inherit, obviously. So what happens when somebody's father, mother has life insurance? So how will the inheritance work? So life insurance is haram. So we will say, you go to that insurance company or broker and tell them to give us a breakdown. So he, that father, mother, whoever, they paid 1 million. We just use round figures. So when they paid 1 million premiums over the 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, so that 1 million will come into the estate. The payout was 5 million. But that 4 million will not come into the estate. So that must be given to the poor, given to the needy, send it to Palestine, send it to Iraq, send it to the Taliban in Afghanistan, and here and there and so forth. So that if you, the sons, daughters, took it, remember that is ill-gotten gain. You know it's haram, like interest. You can't inherit interest, it's haram. So similarly, this also, so this is gambling money, this is interest money, is ill-gotten gain, and remember, you can't be inheriting it. Therefore, we say that this life insurance and all is haram business. But today, our people's mind is the capitalistic mind, is the secular mind. Put 100 Muslims, male, female, all sane, mature, put 100, and tell them that, is it better that we take out life insurance and then we will inherit from that money, which people today don't bother 90%, 80% of the time. Is that better, or is better we don't take out, and then even if your father passes away or mother passes away, or pauper, but you can go collect zakat? What you think, Maulana Zahid? 80% today Muslim, male, female, will tell you it's better we take out life insurance. Because there's a stigma attached to zakat. What is haram? That زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. The Satan, Shaitan, Lucifer, has embellished it, adorned it, beautified it, so the Ummah says, no, I'll give that preference. And what is halal, 100% halal, zakat, that they will say, no, we don't want this. They will say how intelligent we are. The Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam, if you go to his Qabr Mubarak, is written Khatibul Anbiya. He was the orator of the prophets and messengers. But the people used to tell him, ma nafqahu kathiran mimma taqul. We don't understand majority of the things you say. And because he should tell them, this is haram, that is haram. They told him, how dare you come and tell us, naf'alu fi amwalina ma nasha. We will do in our wealth, our money, our assets as we want to. You don't come and tell us. Same thing our people are doing today. If you put, let us be honest. I interact with millions and thousands of people on the radio and thus and that. And you can see the mindset and the thought process and all these type of things. Yeah? So, for to eat haram, insurance, that is considered in their mind as a sign of intelligence and permissible, Allah forbid, which is haram. And to take zakat, which is permissible, if you don't have income, you don't have money, you don't have jewel, that they will frown upon it. You see how the secular mind and the capitalistic mind works with. So that's very important. We need to change the thought process.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahib, in this last few minutes, can Mufti Sahib please give some golden rules one must remember when drawing up the will, etc.?
Remember, there are 3-4 golden rules that you must remember. Whenever there is an estate, right? Every day people are passing away. Some we know, some we don't know. But as long as they pass away as Muslim, we keep on making dua for them. We give out charity for them. For example, all of you should learn these 2 lines. I told you this 100 times. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, and verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, my beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents. And the believers, the day the reckoning is established. So all the Muslims come in there. Second one, Surah 59, Surah Hashr, in the 28th Juz, 28th Subara, 28th part of the Quran. And verse 10, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive us. Forgive our brothers and sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So we make dua for them like that. We give out charity on their behalf. Half all that. You read Quran for them. So all that is permissible, is no problem. But now that person, male or female, passed away, when he or she is survived by a son, S-O-N, so the son will deprive all siblings of the deceased. We got the usul? This is 100% across the board. My father passed away, so I'm the son. So my father's brothers, sisters, all of them deprived. They will not inherit. Why they get deprived? Because I am there, the son is there. So remember this type of things. You got it now? So siblings means the brothers, sisters of the mayyit, of the deceased. So once the biological son or sons are there, so remember that the siblings, the brothers, sisters of the mayyit, of the deceased, all automatically they deprive. They don't inherit the sin. Yes, if he wanted the deceased during his lifetime, he could have made wasiyah for them. He could bequeath for them. So, you know, that he could have done. But inheritance, they don't get anything. Next one. That is one law across the board, 100%. Second law you must, and people make a lot of mix up in all these things. Second law you must remember, the mayyit, the deceased, you understood, that is biological father. The son, see, bichara, that Hafiz Muhammad Asmal, 20 years old, he passed away. His father is alive. According to what I hear, the father is alive. So you must remember that. So when the father is alive of the deceased, so I'm turning it the other way around now. So the son or the daughter passed away. Allah grant him the Hafiz Sahib, General Firdaus, his 2 brothers, Allah give them complete shifa. Amen. If you listen to it, it was a tragic accident. Anyway, so you must remember the circumstances and so forth. So the point we're making here is this, that Now, the deceased is survived by his or her father, biological father. So remember, so the deceased, his or her siblings, so they will not inherit. Why? The father will deprive them. You got it now? So once you got a mayit, a deceased, and he or she is survived by a son, then all siblings, brothers, sisters of the mayit are deprived. Or, second usul, principle, that if you must remember that the person is survived by the biological father, then also all the siblings, brothers, sisters of the deceased are deprived automatically. They don't inherit at all. So, and it's golden rule right through across the board, across the spectrum. Third one, where our people make a lot of upside down and mistakes, is regarding adopted children. First mistake they make, they register the child on their name, surname. That's haram, according to Quran. Surah 33, verse 5. Then they treat them as an heir. So there's another haram. So remember, adopted children don't inherit. Stepchildren don't inherit. Foster children don't inherit. Father-in-law, mother-in-law, adopted parents, all their step-parents don't inherit. So you want to give them something, this take adopted son or adopted daughter. So you use category 3, C and ABC, and that is you can bequeath for them up to 1/3. So that's fine, you can do. But you must change their name back to their biological father's name. And if you don't know the biological father, then remember, say, son of Islam, daughter of Islam. This is enshrined in Quran. فَإِن لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَبَاءَهُمْ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. So that is there. So we must be clear on these issues here. And there's no compromise on this. This is clear-cut text, divine text in the Noble Quran. So these are the basic rules. So it's something fascinating. But the thing is, we must understand it. That's the thing. So there. So to understand it, you have to by heart these verses of the Noble Quran. So verses Surah 4, verses 7, 8, right up to 14, 7 verses. And then, inshallah, you will get a much better understanding of this issue. So 12 o'clock, inshallah, we will have the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. And 12 to 1, we have the majlis with Mufti Ibrahim Saleji of Ispingo Beach. 1 o'clock, Adhan. Today, don't forget, we got our Surah Yasin on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. And now we're introducing Thursday Tafsir also live. I'll be doing it, inshallah. Verses 33 to 44 today, inshallah al-Aziz. 130 to 2, Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17. And we're ending Surah Bani Israel tomorrow, Friday. And we're starting Surah Kahf, subhanallah. So that's very good. You call that tafa'ul, a good omen. So that is very good it is. So today, we're ending Surah Bani Israel, and that is verses 107. And tomorrow, Friday, we start Surah Kahf, the slot between 130 and 2. 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 3:35, repeat of this morning's Q&A, 3:35 to 4, Surah Al Lahab, that is Tabbat Yada by Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, Hafidhullah in Urdu, 4 to 5, Surah Mu'minun, and that is by Muaridwan Kaji, inshallah, between 4 and 5. 5 to 7 will be Mawana Khalid Yaqub, and 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of that tafsir, Surah Yasin, verses 33 to 44, and 7:30 to 8 will be Mawana Yunus Patel's advices, 8 to 10 Mawana Arafat and Mawana Salim Karim, the discussion between 8 and 10, and 10 to 11 Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki al-Shaheed, and inshallah that is our program from now right till 11 o'clock. Barakallahu fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
We say jazakum Allah khairan to Mufti Sahib for those amazing lessons, and to all our listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and Sirius FM. We head on for the news now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.